Welcome to episode 10 of The Budget Is No, where we dive deeper into how other industries, organizations, and individuals connect with people, resulting in a lasting, meaningful experience. We talk about coming up with ways to do this when there's limited resources and the budget is no. Hi, I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Katie.
And welcome to our 10th episode.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we made it to episode 10.
I know, it's kind of crazy. Like, we've been at it since when, May? When did Taylor drop her single?
I should know the exact date, but I don't.
I think it was May,
yeah.
June, July, August, September. Like 6 months?
Congrats to us.
Yay! As a fun 10th birthday celebration, I finally got us set up to where you can listen to us on Stitcher.
Yay! So now you can listen to us, like, on all platforms.
Yes.
Almost.
I think we're still working on the Google stuff, but Spotify, iTunes, our website, and Stitcher.
All the major platforms, at least, we are on.
Yeah, so be hip, and I hope you're listening to us on Stitcher.
And download and subscribe and write reviews and like us.
Please validate our feelings.
Yeah. Only write reviews, though, if they're nice.
Yeah, if you have, like, bad comments, just, like, direct message us so you can, like, we can process it in
yes.
silence and
yes.
private.
Yeah, but please do so that we can, you know, make our show better and give some more, great shows to you guys.
And speaking on getting feedback and kind of figuring out what is the best topic or subject matter for your community, that's what we're going to talk about today.
So,
segue.
Awesome segue. To dive right into it, we are going to talk about crowdsourcing topics and content. Recently, Elizabeth and I actually did a roundtable discussion for one of the organizations that we are involved in, and the way that we came up with the topics that were going to be discussed was we sent out a survey, which costs nothing because we did it through Google Forms, and we sent it out to the members of this organization, and we asked them questions about what they wanted to talk about, what they wanted to hear from, and what issues were affecting them in their daily jobs, their daily work life. And basically, we took all of their answers and we formulated, like, what the four biggest issues were that they were facing. And through that, we got our four roundtable discussion topics.
And Katie's using we, but really she was the mastermind behind the content structure of this.
It takes a team. It takes a village.
So like she mentioned, when we got those four topics, you actually reached out and got four moderators, not speakers, but table leaders, moderators, that could kind of help facilitate the conversation at each table, right?
Yes. So, after I got the results of the survey, and we actually had, like, really good participation rate with the survey because we made it anonymous, which I think also helped, so people didn't have to put their email address or where they worked or any kind of information that, like, tied back to them. So I think that also helped with not only getting people to take the survey, but actually be honest with their answers.
And it was only, like, four questions, right?
Yeah, it took absolutely no time. And we were also very cheeky in the way that we sent out the email to encourage people to take the survey. So I encourage people to kind of, make it fun, make it exciting, to kind of push people to actually click on your email, click on your survey to take the form. Keep it short, keep it sweet. Do not send out a survey that takes people more than literally 2 minutes to do.
There's been surveys that I've just abandoned because
yes.
When I see, like, down the bottom, like, page 1 of 7, I'm like, I'm out.
Or when you see the progress meter and you've, like, been doing
it goes 2% every time.
Yes. When you've been doing it for literally 5 minutes and you're only, like, 2% done and you're like, no, thank you.
This is not worth the $10 Starbucks card that you've promised.
Yes, exactly. Definitely not worth it. I digress. So
it's our birthday episode. We can do whatever we want. Okay. Sending out the survey.
So once, we got the survey results And I was able to kind of formulate what the top issues were that everybody was kind of facing within their daily work life. I was able to reach out to some people that I am familiar with within the industry that I know are very well-versed in these topics that people were wanting more information on. I reached out to them, and these are people who, again, they're not professional speakers, but they are, you know, very well informed about these topics, and I know that they would be able to lead a discussion on this topic, and they would be able to really kind of answer questions and be able to guide people.
Yeah, because most of these attendees or people, well, people attending the event would have a different varying knowledge. Some people, I know one of the topics you mentioned was like thinking about new ideas. So obviously there's some people who are coming who have great experiences with introducing new ideas in their business. And then there's some people that may not, maybe on the ground floor of starting. So yeah, you have to have a moderator who's comfortable with kind of asking for feedback or kind of acknowledging maybe this person has an experience they could share that would be helpful. So not to overpower or to kind of talk over everybody, but to really facilitate that discussion in between the table participants, and as well as kind of fostering that little community and openness.
Absolutely. So the key to that is being able to not only know people within your industry who, you know, you can lean on to either guide you in the right direction of people who are confident to lead these type of discussions or who would be great speakers, great moderators, but also, you know, if you know people or even yourself that would be able to guide some type of discussion. So that's kind of how we were able to facilitate this this event that we did, and it actually turned out really, really well. And it, I would say it was one of the most successful events that we've done for this program.
Definitely. And a little bit of the day of logistics, Katie, you had mapped everybody out to where they're moving from table to table in a different set order. So you're not necessarily spending, you know, the four table rotations with the same group. So you're able to meet with more people that way.
Correct. So every person would move, you would sit at each table. So there was four tables total, and you would sit at each table for equal amounts of time. And I was there to, you know, I timed it out. So each table, I would do a little buzzer and people would, you know when to rotate. But yes, I mapped it out so that everybody had a little numbering grid on the back of their name tag when they showed up, and it would let them know which table they started at, which table they moved to throughout the session. And I mapped it to where they were sitting with different people each time so that they were kind of forced outside of their comfort zone. They were networking with new people each time. And I also tried to split it up so that they were sitting with different people in terms of their industry as well. So they weren't with, in our industry, it was organizers and suppliers, and they weren't, you know, all suppliers or all organizers.
Yeah, and I think kind of coupled with, we had a little bit of a check-in area time beforehand, and then we had a networking break afterwards. So I think that really helped people continue the conversation. And I think what I loved most about it was that it was relevant content to exactly what they wanted.
Exactly. That was the key to all of this, and I think that's why it worked so well, was that we went out to our attendees and our members, and we asked them exactly what they were needing, exactly what they were looking for, and we literally delivered that to them on a silver platter, and they were involved in every portion of this, and we gave them experts within our industry who do this on a daily basis, you know, at the highest level within our industry. Those were the moderators speaking on these topics. I found them who are so good at these, you know, the daily issues that these, that our members were asking, that, you know, they need help with these tasks, these issues. I was able to get the experts to come in and literally have very intimate and organic conversations with our members about these topics. And I think that's why it was so successful.
And just from a logistics point of view, there wasn't really a lot of, I mean, we had the venue, we bought the food, we bought the drinks. I mean, but other than that, it's something that you can do with the budget is no. I mean, just find a place to meet, you find your moderators. It's great, like you mentioned earlier, to get people who are either interested in speaking or maybe just people who are comfortable moderating a discussion. So you don't really have to, like, consider hiring like fancy speakers or facilitators or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that was a big difference too, because obviously when you hire speakers, like professional speakers, you obviously pay a big fee for that. And that's when you kind of have like more of like your motivational type of speakers, which is great for certain types of conferences and certain types of events that you're putting on. But that's not always what people are looking for. And when you can do more of networking type of discussions or roundtable type of topics, you don't need professional speakers. You just need you need somebody that's confident enough to speak on a topic and somebody that is able to answer questions and be able to drive a discussion. But by no means do they need to be able to stand up in front of a room of, you know, anywhere from 25 to 300 people and put on a formal presentation. So that right there can save you thousands upon thousands of dollars that, you know, again, the budget is no. So...
And location-wise, we just partnered with a member of the organization, and they let us use their conference area. So you could look at that. You could even look at co-working spaces. I know, Katie, you and I have been to some events in co-working spaces that they have kind of some meeting rooms. I mean, even public libraries, honestly.
Absolutely.
Have
That's
rooms
a great idea.
That you can rent for, you know, $25, $50 an hour. And obviously, if you're charging some sort of registration fee, there's an opportunity to cost recovery there. So I think, or if you have a big conference and you want to schedule this as a session within your conference programming, obviously, you're already paying to be there, so what's one more room? So I think it's just a great, really easy way, as long as you get that feedback piece from your attendees, to kind of offer something that's directly beneficial for them.
Yeah, and I think, too... you know, another way to kind of like crowdsource your content kind of goes back to like our little mini-sode of our Instagram thing. You could even do it on Instagram, kind of ask a few questions on there of what your attendees, you know, are wanting to hear more about. Again, only if that's a platform where your audience is living, where if your audience is engaged in Instagram, I think it's a great way to do it there. If your audience is on Facebook,
they have Facebook polls too.
Exactly. You have Facebook polls,
Twitter polls,
kind of just, you know, being able to pull from different areas. And again, and maybe email is not the best way. Maybe surveys aren't the best way for your audience. But I think being able to really put it back on your attendees and letting them be the driver for what you're producing.
Yeah. Another way that you can kind of have this discussion and feedback in an online platform is through Twitter chats. Have you participated in a Twitter chat?
I have not participated in a Twitter chat.
There's one for our industry that's every Wednesday, I think at noon Central Time, and I always remember at like 12:52 when it's over. But essentially what it is, it's a line of questions that somebody prompts over Twitter. You're all using a specific hashtag, and everybody who's participating can just kind of jump in. So honestly, it gets a little chaotic because there's stuff like happening all the time. Usually everything is labeled, you know, question one, what is your favorite color? And if I'm tweeting back with the hashtag, I might say A1, so answer one,
okay.
Blue. But stuff is kind of coming in. Like whenever people see it in tweets. So that sometimes there's like little side conversations, but this can be a way that you can kind of have this discussion, brainstorming, community building online. So just some real quick tips about Twitter chats. You definitely want to have a plan before you go in. What is your Twitter chat for? What are you trying to accomplish? Pick your questions ahead of time. please, and kind of have an idea, just like you mentioned, like have an idea of, okay, we're going to talk about for an hour, we're going to have 7 questions in 45 minutes, it's roughly going to be X number of time before we move on to the next question. Pick your hashtag and do a quick check and make sure no one else is using that hashtag for anything substantial. You don't want to like have weirdness in your feed or...
Yeah, you don't want some other Twitter chat going on at the same time with the same hashtag maybe.
Yeah,
and talking about completely different things.
A little awkward. establish a regular day and time. If it's a monthly thing, if it's a weekly thing, if it's just a one-time thing, that's fine as well. Have a moderator or a leader to help with the questions. So whether it's an account that's the Twitter chat and that account is going to tweet, or if you invite somebody, a community, a part of the community or an influencer, if you will, to kind of lead the questions. And then afterwards, you can create a transcript of your Twitter chat with Storify or some other platforms that are out there that you can help archive these answers and allow for people who couldn't make it, or like me, who miss it, and it's, you know, 52 minutes past when it started, to kind of benefit from the information gathered.
Oh, that's really cool. So even if you did miss it, you can still go back and see what was discussed, mm-hmm. see the key highlights, and if there's anything that, like, may trigger, like, oh, I can use this for whatever project I'm working on.
Yep, and most of the time those stories can be, what's the word, embedded in a blog post, can be linked out through an email. So there's ways that Twitter chat can live on from just the one-timeness of it happening on the internet.
You know what's even better about all that? That costs you absolutely nothing.
Oh, yep.
The budget is always no.
Look at that.
That's very cool. I love that idea.
Does cost you in time to think it through, but
yes,
totally free. The last thing we kind of had around crowdsourcing topics and kind of engaging the community is to set up some quiz type pub trivia type things. We have used it here in the office. I have actually used it to facilitate a training at the end of the training to kind of quiz to see if people remembered what it was. So we used, it was called Kahoot, K-A-H-O-O-T. And I think, Katie, you've probably been in like a session with, they've used that.
Yes.
It's totally free if you're using it like internally or just for a few people. You can set up your quiz questions, your device, whether it's your phone or your tablet, as long as it connects to the internet, that kind of becomes your answer keypad. So you can have different types of questions up and it gets scored. And I think it's, you know, if you answer it right and then the quickest, then you get the most points and it shows the leaderboard. So it's really kind of fun to kind of gamify that in a little bit. If you wanted to scale it up for a big conference or a keynote, there would be some costs. But I think if you just kind of poke around, use it internally for training or just with a few people and see how it goes.
Yeah, I do like that one. There are a lot of those, obviously, like
quiz
survey,
apps.
Quiz apps out there. That one is fun because it is very interactive on both sides, from both the attendee side and also from like the speaker side of it that's using it, because you'll, like you said, it's kind of more like gamified. So yeah, I definitely would suggest that if you are looking at using that at any of your conferences or just using it like internally to kind of make a meeting a little bit more fun or interactive, it's a good one.
Yeah, and even there's no shame in going old school. So you could either you could even have just an old school paper form of a quiz. Like,
that's super old school.
I know. I mean, go figure.
That is really the budget is now. Wow.
The budget is printing the paper.
That's true.
But even if you had like a little happy hour or kickoff reception, you could just have people with the opportunity to fill out a paper scoring form. That did not make any sense.
Who's grading that, though?
Well, yeah, that's a thing. So there's a little bit more moving parts, but you might get more people. It just kind of depends. The whole, I feel like the retro thing's coming back in, so maybe paper does kind of work.
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to knowing your audience and knowing, like, what kind of event that you're doing, making sure it makes sense for whatever type of look and feel that you're trying to do, so...
Definitely. So I think between running some roundtable discussions or having a Twitter chat or even incorporating some quiz or pub trivia into event, I think can really help enhance it for the audience.
Absolutely. Well, I think that is all we have for you guys today.
Yep. Thanks again for listening. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook at The Budget Is No. You can listen to all of our episodes online at www.thebudgetisno.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and now Stitcher. So tell all your friends.
And be sure to download and subscribe and review.
Yes, definitely. We want to know your feedback.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye.